Back again with John MacArthur in the Grace to You audio blog. If you haven't heard, there's a discussion underway at gty.org. When John is done, get the info on how to get involved.
Now, this immense challenge put upon parenting from the outside is compounded by an even more immense challenge put on parenting from the inside, the internal. Let's go to that one. What do I mean by that? Well, children may be ignorant when they come into the world. They may be naive, they may be unexperienced, they may be cute, but they are not innocent with regard to evil. I suppose the simplest way to say it is this. The seed of every known sin is planted deep in the heart of every child. The seed of every known sin is planted deep in the heart of every child. And the truth, listen to this because it's so important. The truth is not that if things somehow turn out badly, our children might get messed up. Our children are severely messed up when they arrive. It's not that if things don't work out the way we would like, our children may drift spiritually and they may wander morally. But rather, listen, the drive to drift spiritually and morally, the drive to sin is embedded in their natures. And it is the compelling drive. They don't come into the world seeking God and righteousness. They come into the world seeking the fulfillment of their sinful desires. Listen. All that is required for the tragic harvest is that children be allowed to give expression to their most evil desires. We talk about mass murderers all the time, and they're always doing things about them on television. We talk about pedophiles, the horrible crime of molesting children, rapists, homosexual perversions, lifelong chronic criminal behavior. And people are always asking the question, what happened to them when they were young? What did their parents do to them? They must have been in an abusive environment. They must have been in some kind of a situation where they were mistreated and maltreated. And the question is always asked, what did their parents do to them? But let me tell you something. Mass murderers, pedophiles, rapists, perverts, lifelong criminals are not the products of what their parents did to them. They're the products of what their parents didn't do to them. If you're running around trying to find some traumatic event in the life of a Jeffrey Dahmer when he was a child, you might not find it. I mean, how do you explain a homosexual murdering cannibal? What did they do to him? That's not the question. The question is, what didn't they do to him? Because the Bible says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of righteousness will drive it from it. You see, what happened was, they just followed the natural course of their sinful nature. It's frightening, folks, because as people bring these little reprobates into the world, as adorable as they are, and have absolutely no commitment to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and no commitment to use the rod, they are simply allowing the children to give full expression to their depravity. What we're going to have is adult disasters, if not child disasters. It isn't that mass murderers and pedophilic child killers were made that way by their parents. Do you know that many of them had no parental influence? Many of them were foster children. You see, the problem was they became what they were potentially at birth because they were never instructed and restrained. And even more, they were never converted. In Psalm 58, and I just read a couple of Psalms to you because I think they're very important as a touchstone for us in understanding this. Psalm 58, verse 3 says this, "The wicked are estranged from the womb, and these who speak lies go astray from birth. They have venom like the venom of a serpent." Whoa, they're little snakes. "The poison of asps is under their lips. They're wicked when they come out of the womb. They are liars from their birth." That's called total depravity, if you're looking for a theological category for that. In Psalm 51, in verse 5, David says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." He doesn't mean that he was an illegitimate child. He wasn't. What he means is from his conception to his birth, he was iniquitous. And let me tell you something. Understanding the total depravity of your children is the important practical foundation of all parenting. You can bring depraved people under some control by teaching them morality and punishing them and in a proper way, a loving way, but nonetheless in a firm way. You can bring your children under control, but ultimately what you want to do is see them pass from darkness to light, right? You want to see their heart transformed so that instead of loving sin, they love righteousness. Instead of wanting to give full expression to their evil desires, they want to give full expression to what is honoring to God. All this psychological analysis stuff of all these criminals trying to figure out what somebody did to them misses the point. It's not what somebody did to them. It's what somebody didn't do to them. Nobody would deal with them. Nobody would confront their wickedness. Nobody would show them the divine standard. Nobody would hold them to the conformity to that divine standard by the threat of corporal punishment in a loving and affirming way, of course. And most of all, no one led them to the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ so that they would have a supernatural restrainer. It really is of little consequence what you do with your children in terms of the practical issues. What little schedules you put them on or don't put them on is not the issue. What is the issue is that you lead your fallen, sinful child to the transforming grace of Jesus Christ. That's the issue. God, and I know you hate to think of this, and I even hate to think of it when I look at my precious children and grandchildren, but God has not given us holy little angels to be delicately handled so they don't go astray. They're not holy little angels to be delicately handled so they don't get corrupted. They're corrupt little sinners who have to be led to become saints. If you have trouble with this, just recognize that your children are a miniature version of you. Now, the world recognizes this disaster. And the world says, what are we going to do? We got this tremendous problem with these children. They're out of control. They're angry, aren't they? Boy, we have an angry generation. Listen to their music. Look at their films. Vengeance, anger, brutality, hostility. And who are they most angry with? Their parents, who have frustrated them. The very thing that Ephesians 6:4 says don't do. And made them bitter and angry. What is the world going to do? Well, all the psychologists got together and they came up with a solution. Solution right out of hell. The solution is they lack self-esteem. Boy, does that work good. From an economic standpoint, people will pay to come and have you tell them how wonderful they really are. You make a lot of money doing that. They say that the problem, you see, is they don't have a proper self-respect. They don't have a proper pride in themselves. And they need to see themselves as good, noble, wonderful people. In fact, they need to love themselves. And so you take all of these young people and you say, you just need to love yourself the way you are. You need to accept yourself the way you are. And you need to just feel good about yourself the way you are. And you just pour gas on the fire. Because all they want already is their own will and their own way, right? And you're just telling them they're justified in it. Let me tell you, self-esteem can't tame the little beast. It just pours gas on the fire because it feeds the sin of pride. So what's the answer? Back to Ephesians 6. The answer, fathers, speaking for both really, father and mother, do not provoke your children to anger, which these things do, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now let's begin at the beginning. What do you need to do to change this? You've got this external world coming at them. You've got this internal corruption being allowed to run its course. Both colliding in tragic consequences. And what is your job? Your job is to teach that little one the law of God and lead them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, right? You are an evangelist in your home. First and foremost, you are an evangelist. It's not what you do to your children that makes them go astray. It's what you don't do, largely.
Now that you've heard from John, let us know what you think. Go to gty.org/audioblog and leave your comment. Again, that's gty.org/audioblog. Thanks for listening.